Psalm number 103 is where we are singing to God's glory, and we shall once again begin at the beginning of Psalm 103 and verses 1 to 5. O thou my soul, bless God the Lord, and all that in me is, be stirred up his holy name to magnify and bless. Psalm 103, 1 to 5. Now let us join once again in prayer together. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that we would never tire of singing the Psalms, of reading the Scriptures, of hearing the Scriptures, of gathering around the Word, that we would never grow tired of meditating upon God, upon Christ, upon the wonder of our creation, our existence, upon the great reality that we live, that we have the blessings of life, that we have privileges and prosperity in life, that we live in a world that is in a great measure orderly, that we live in a world which is all around us disorderly, of our own making, the disorderliness of our lives, the disorderliness of our individual life, our family life, our social life, the international life, the tensions and the strifes, the competition, the undergirding hatred of one person for another, the underlying ambition for self-aggrandizement and power, to be in control, always to be right, always to be superior, always to be more, excellent and more in eminence over others, always the pride of life, the lust of the eye, and the lust of the flesh. We confess, O God, that we are all participants. As we look around the world, we have contributed to what we see around us in one way or another. Our hands are all embroiled in guilt, in blood even perhaps, in economic oppressions over others, and all kinds of involvements. We cannot escape the consequences of our fallen nature and our fallen environment. We cannot escape except through the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we look again into the scriptures in order to find there the teaching, the emphases that will make us wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And we pray that as we so listen and look and search the scriptures, so we would recognize that Christ is presented to us as the only Saviour, the only way, the only ultimate truth about God and sin and salvation, and that he is the life that is necessary for us. He gives his own life. He gives us life. He shares his life with us, Christ living within us. This is the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. No other hope, no other life possible other than the new life which is in Christ Jesus. And that life is dearly bought through the suffering that he endured in his earthly life and the death that he died as a sinless offering to God on our behalf, offering his life, offering his death in our place, that he would undergo our death under guilt in order to take away our death from us, that we might not die but live. And so this afternoon, O God, as we gather again around the Holy Scriptures, we give thanks that the Scripture is available to us, that it is clearly and fully translated for us, and that we have it open now before us once again. May we rejoice in the privileges and in the possessions of all the means of grace that God has given to us. And may we, O God, rejoice and be glad as the psalmist did of old, rejoicing and being glad, expressing gladness for the great things that God has done for us. We pray for the church. We pray for the churches throughout the world in this our generation. All different kinds of churches, different ways of expressing worship, different emphases in the preaching, in the living, in the practice, different emphases in administration, different understanding, different experiences, different communities in which to live and to witness for Christ, different privileges to enjoy, different difficulties to overcome. All the variety of life expressed in the Christian life. And we pray for our brothers and sisters throughout the world, as in these days we try to live as the light of the world and as the salt of the earth. We remember those who suffer for Christ. We neglect them. We forget them. We don't know them personally. We have never known what it is to suffer as many do even now. We don't know what it is like. We don't know what it would look like to see it. We don't know what it would be to experience it. We do not know what it is to be, as it were, out of sight and out of mind. We are so occupied with our own little problems, our own little prosperities, our own little kingdoms, our own little religious circles. We are so concerned, O God, with our little interests that to us seem to be so, so important. And in the bigger picture of Christ's church, there are vast areas of which we are ignorant and desire to know nothing. It would be too troublesome and burdensome to know what so many Christians are experiencing as we enjoy ourselves here today. And so we pray for these brothers and sisters. We don't know their names. We don't know what they look like. We don't know where they are, what they're experiencing. But we do hear rumors. We do read reports. We do know from the scriptures that the Church of Christ is a suffering church, and in the world we will have tribulation. And so we pray for these believers, O God, that they would be more than conquerors in all these things, in through all these afflictions, they would grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And if perchance these afflictions would come to us, that we too would not succumb or betray Christ, but rather go outside the camp with him, bearing his reproach, remembering that here we have no continuing city, and that we would be glad, as the early Christians were glad, to suffer for Christ, rejoicing to be worthy to bear that holy, precious, lovely name, the name of Jesus Christ, and to live and to die in the name of Christ. We pray that this would be our portion if these things happen to us. But in the meantime, we pray for them. We know, Lord, that you've been looking after the church down through the long centuries. And we know that the church, while it is a suffering church, is an indestructible church, and that those who believe in Christ will never perish. Heavenly Father, so we pray that this would be proclaimed, that this would be experienced, that this would be the confidence of the saints of God in difficult times, that this would be the undergirding strength, that Christ is our refuge and our strength, that Christ can give us strength and do all things through him who strengthens us. So we confess our sins once again, easy to confess, not so easy to forsake. But we confess we have sinned. There is not a sin that we haven't sinned. There is not a sin that we haven't desired to sin. We are totally undone. In us there is no righteousness. None are righteous, not even one. We are all, with the apostle, as it were, the chief of sinners, less than the least of all the saints. And we are so proud, we are so self-sufficient, so self-congratulatory, so, so assured of our own strength. And it is only when we are weak, then we are strong. We pray, Lord, that we would be weak, that we would know our weakness, because then the strength of Christ would be our sufficiency. We pray all things always in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to read in the Acts of the Apostles and in chapter 24. In the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 24, and we shall read through these verses from the beginning to the end of Acts chapter 24. And after 5 days, Ananias, the high priest, descended with the elders, and a certain orator named Tertullus, who informed the governor against Paul. And when he was called forth, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, "Seeing that by thee we enjoy great quietness, and that very worthy deeds are done unto this nation by thy providence, we accept it always and in all places, most noble Felix." Felix was the governor, the Roman governor. "With all thankfulness, notwithstanding that I be not further tedious unto thee, I pray thee that thou would hear us of thy clemency a few words. For we have found this man a pestilent fellow, and a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes, who also has gone about to profane the temple, whom we took, and would have judged according to our law. But the chief captain, Lysias, came upon us, and with great violence, which was not true, actually, but that's what they said, and with great violence took him away out of our hands, commanding his accusers to come unto thee, by examining of whom thyself mayest take knowledge of all these things whereof we accuse him. And the Jews also assented, saying that these things were so. Then Paul, after that the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, answered, Forasmuch as I know that thou hast been of many years a judge unto this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself, because that thou mayest understand that there are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem for to worship, and they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogue nor in the city. Neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope towards God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. And herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience, void of offence towards God and towards men. Now after many years I came to bring alms to my nation and offerings, whereupon certain Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with multitude nor with tumult, who ought to have been here before thee, and object if they had anything against me. Or else let these same here say, if they have found any evil doing in me while I stood before the council. Except it be for this one voice that I cried, standing among them, touching the resurrection of the dead. I am called in question by you this day. And when Felix heard these things, having more directly knowledge of that way, he deferred them, and said, when Lysias the chief captain shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter. And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul, and let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or come to him. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. He hoped also that money should have been given him by Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. Now the intimations are following meetings. Wednesday at 7 p.m., around the recorded message again, and next Lord's Day, the same hours, 10:30 a.m., 4:30 p.m. And again, these we expect will be recorded services. We welcome you to join with us, and we welcome those who have listened in, perhaps even for the first time. So we hope that the word of God will be a word of life to all of us. We are going to continue now in Psalm 103, singing to God's glory from verse number 6 to verse number 12. We sing these verses, 6 to 12, Psalm 103.